In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's, Packer Ave, South Philly. Never too early to book that holiday party at Chickie's and Pete's. Book now for November or January and get a party upgrade. Visit chickiesandpetes.com. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Marks-Jewelers.com. Who is the most valuable Eagle on the Eagles offense? Jack, we need a new question. It's obviously Saquon. Saquon was 69% of the vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any question
Come
you
on,
want.
Man.
Good. Well, I just want to make sure.
All right. Okay. So we have all week.
And by the way, AJ should not be second. He should be. Or AJ should not be third. He should be second.
He should be second. Yeah. All right. So all week at 4:30, we have a pair of tickets every day to see Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale Thursday at noon at Ticketmaster.com. First time Linkin Park has played Philly in 8 years, I think like that. I think, okay. Obviously, with their new lead singer, Emily Armstrong. So this is the way we're going to do it every day. We will give out the number. We will pick callers. The first caller, we will play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. You need to know the next line of the song, but you have to sing it. You can't just say it. If you say it, I'm going to hang up on you right away, and we're going to go to the next person.
How do they just try to sing it like Chester Bennington?
Or Emily. Well, they sing it the same way. Chester and Emily sing it the same way. Yeah. Sing it like you.
Okay.
Just sing it like you. Well, not like Jack, like you the person. So Dave in Marlton is first up. Dave, are you prepared?
I am prepared.
Okay. Now, remember, the song ends. You have to sing the next line, not just say it, and put some heart into it. Okay.
I shall.
All right.
I'm all about it.
All right. Buzz, hit the song. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so
hard and got so far. In the end, it doesn't even matter.
There we go.
All right.
Oh, man, how about that?
Right. You sang it well.
I'll say every day.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. We found a winner.
That is my nickname in horseshoes, gentlemen.
Is all day, every day, or Linkin Park?
Yes, because I throw ringers.
Oh, okay. All day, every day. Wow.
All right, Dave.
Well, horseshoes, because that's such a great game. So anyways, I did have... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. No, you keep cooking, buddy.
Yeah, you got the tickets. If you had a point you wanted to make, you go ahead. You make the point, buddy.
I do want to make
you got to sing it, though.
Joel Embiid.
No, I'm just saying.
That's right, good, yep.
All right, well, what do you want to say?
So anyways, on Joel Embiid, there's no veteran presence.
Dude, he's 30. He's 30. Eric Gordon's 35.
Yeah, PJ Tucker came here to hold his hand for
Caleb
a year.
Caleb Martin's been there for a while. I don't like this whole Andre Drummond's 30 years old. How many vets do? Wait, Paul George is 34. This team is all veterans except for Jared McCain. No.
But think about back in the time where Charles was out of shape. What did Moses do there?
What did Moses do?
Yeah.
Tell him to get in shape.
He says you're fat, you're out of shape, you're not going to play.
Look, man.
That's not going to work with today's.
Yeah, here's the thing.
He makes $65 million
a year. It's not going to work with today's players.
Well, no, here's the thing, Dave. And I think it's funny, and I mentioned it last week, when Charles and Shaq make fun of Embiid for not being in shape, two of the least in shape guys to show up for an NBA season in league history. But I don't need a superstar. Because you know what? When Charles got traded to Phoenix and it was time to win, nobody needed to tell Charles that he needed to be in shape when it was time to win a championship. And he took the team to the finals, and they didn't win, but they got there. I don't need...
That is a great point.
I don't need... God bless Joel. I'm an enormous fan of his, and I want him to succeed here. If he needs somebody to tell him that it's important to be in shape at the beginning of a basketball season, then he ain't it. You know, and for the number of people, and I thought it was, I supported him not playing back-to-backs, and I supported him not caring about individual awards, and I supported the ramp-up. But, like, this ramp-up doesn't look like a ramp-up to what? to huffing and puffing in the second half of the second game you're playing. It's just like he. I'm glad that he has had the support of the players that he has of the fans that he has had here, but he is on the very last bit of them. And I don't know, as somebody who has supported him for years, I don't know how you can look at what we looked at on Friday night and say this is okay. It's not okay anymore. It's not okay. It's time to do it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's just so exhausting.
It is.
Like, I love this team. I was there with the 83, and it was, you know, the best times of my years of watching this team win the championship.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold, Dave, so Buzz can get your info so you can get the tickets. He is the most talented player I've ever seen play for the 76ers, I personally have ever seen. And to have that opportunity in front of you, the injuries are the injuries. They are what they are. But he can do everything else to make sure that those things, like if they happen, you know, if your face breaks, if you tear something in your knee, those things you can't control, but this part you can. And I don't think he's not doing a good job of that.
Mm-mm.
So... Jack, you want to talk a little baseball?
Yeah.
All right. Buzz, hit it.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Sacrifice for Soto. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Mm-hmm. It's not growing on me, Spike.
Well, he hasn't fixed it yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen, it's okay.
What are you going to do?
So, it came out over the weekend. Obviously, a team that is now, I think, in the mix for him and maybe towards the top seems to be the Red Sox. Did a three-hour meeting with them, and it seems like they're trying to sell the vision of him, Rafael Devers, and I think they want to trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr., and having those three kind of come together for the Red Sox. So they are now all of a sudden at the forefront of the Juan Soto sweepstakes. But we all know the big team is the Mets. And apparently over the weekend, they made an offer to Juan Soto, 14 years, $660 million.
As the first offer.
That's the first offer.
So he's going to make more than Ohtani did. Because Ohtani had $700 million, right? And if it's starting at $660, then he's going to wind up with the biggest contract in baseball history.
Well, he has more years, though, right? Ohtani's was 10.
Oh, Ohtani's was 10. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
And his
yeah.
is 70 mil per. This would be 47.
So yeah. He'll end up with probably a higher total value, but a lower annual AAV.
Which is what? Scott Boras cares about.
Is the AAV or the total?
Well, he cares about setting some kind of record.
Right.
So
right.
He's $705 million, that means he's ahead of Ohtani.
So the Yankees meeting is this week. The Mets have already met with him. The Red Sox have already met with him. And we still have not heard anything about the Phillies meeting with him at all.
Uh-uh.
Mm. You got to meet with the guy.
Maybe they do it sort of behind the scenes. They don't want it to get out once they realize that they're – I mean,
I suppose that's possible.
They know Scott Boras, so they know what number they need to come in with.
I mean, right.
Like, yeah, they know you're not coming in with some low number and negotiating.
I suppose they could tell Boras, we want to be a part of this, but we don't want to be part of the public dog and pony show.
Yes.
I suppose that's possible.
That's sort of what I'm thinking.
Jack.
I don't buy that they're just bowing out.
Yeah.
I agree with Ike. I don't think they want to make this public because, again, if you make it public, you're like in, you're going for them. That is setting themselves up for.
They know how we're going to react.
Exactly.
To that, yes.
And then if they don't get them, then it's, well, how could you guys not get
right.
them?
Right. Yes.
So, yes, I think they're trying to be more stealth about it. And in that, so again, hopefully that's the case. John Heyman said there's mystery teams involved.
Yeah.
The Phillies have traditionally been
I can see that.
One of those kind of mysteries.
Well, and listen, that the Eagles were like that with Russ and Deshaun Watson. They never officially said anything about them being on it, but there were enough rumors behind the scenes that they were certainly checking into it. I mean, your dad came on the air and said it was – remember that? What did he say?
90% that if Deshaun Watson gets traded, he'll be an Eagle?
Yep.
Well, that 10% came through, and thank God it did, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Holy moly.
Now, granted, this was going into the Super Bowl year, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, can you imagine?
This is going into the 2022 season.
Can you with all the debate we have about Jalen Hurts, all the debate, can you imagine if it was Deshaun Watson we had here?
Well, at least we have a debate right now. I think everyone would be on the same page
with
Deshaun Watson.
Right.
You don't think he would succeed? I think he would have succeeded here.
I don't know, man.
He would have succeeded here. Oh. I think everybody succeeds here, except for Sam Bradford.
Yeah, right. But even he had a couple of moments. Yeah. Mark Sanchez had a couple of moments.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Maybe. I'm actually,
look at Russ. We thought Russ was done.
I was told Russ is cooked. Turns out he got to just let him cook.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that seems to be the latest on Soto. Teams are lining up. The early offseason prediction from insiders that he's going to decide December 8th through 11th. So we got about less than a month. He's going to decide out at the winter meetings. So we'll see. Thought it was interesting. Alex Bregman seems to be the next big name that people are interested in. This is classic Scott Boras, but this came out earlier today that they're looking to aim higher than most projections out there and want like $300 million for Alex Bregman. You could want that.
have three players making $300 million.
You're going to get... Wait, they wanted 10 years. He's 30, and they want 10 years.
Exactly. Exactly. A deal closer to the 11-year, $350 million deal that Manny Machado signed in February. You can ask for it all you want. You're going to get your 7 years, 180, and be happy.
Well, it only takes one, though.
Really?
I think so. Yeah. Now, I could be wrong.
He wins most of these negotiations.
Not last year. Last year, teams are actually starting to blackball Scott Boras a little bit. Like last year, you know, Chapman, he's looking for a lot of money. Snell looking for a lot of money. Jordan Montgomery looking for a lot of money. They end up signing not great deals.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a bit of a pushback on Scott Boras and all his demands.
Yeah. Take that, Scott.
That's right.
He is entertaining.
He is famously entertaining.
And somebody tell Rod Scott Boras is representing me moving forward.
me too.
Yeah, let's not get Boras. Can you imagine Rod's face as he gets a call from Scott Boras?
What the hell?
I'm representing the afternoon show at WIP. We have several people interested.
I like that.
Who the hell's interested? Right. Jack, you have more, right? Do you have more?
Well, I thought it was interesting the other day, Buster Olney was on the Baseball Tonight podcast. I know people are probably like, well, I think they make a move. Are they going to do anything? I think Buster Olney laid it out pretty good about where he feels like the Phillies are from an organization standpoint.
The team that I think is going to be especially aggressive because to borrow the phrase from a general manager, which I thought was perfect, he goes, okay, which teams are on World Series tilt? In other words, it's all about winning the World Series. Philadelphia Phillies. You know, who had the best team, I think, in 2024. They were heavily involved in the Crochet conversations back in July. If they had put Andrew Painter in that deal, they would have landed him. This winter, I think that they're going to go bonkers. I think the Phillies are going to be one of the most aggressive teams. As you know, the White Sox priority is to have a position players at the centerpiece of any deal they do for Crochet. Phillies don't necessarily match up in a great way there. But I think that they will be the team willing to give the extra 10% to finish a deal.
Well, I like bonkers.
I like bonkers, too.
You know what sounds bonkers to me, Jack?
Juan Soto.
14 years, $720 million for Juan Soto. Sounds pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, that does sound pretty crazy.
Sounds bonkers.
So, we'll see. Crochet does feel like of all the moves out there, Bregman, too, but Crochet feels like that's their all-in move if they do make it.
Yeah, if they're not interested in Crochet, they've been used as a public, because we've heard about Crochet since the trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, all right. More from you after I tell you about where to get stuff for your dog or your cat. You love them. Member of the family. Our dogs, members of our family. Some would say we may love the dogs more than we love each other. Some may say that. If you do, Dogs and Cats Rule is the only place you can go. George Perenni is the lead dog at Dogs and Cats Rule, and he knows that the thing that you're concerned about is your pet's health and happiness. So when you go to Dogs and Cats Rule, not only are you going to get the top-of-the-line, cutting-edge pet nutrition stuff, even the fresh diets, the raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, they also know that there's so many options that having a staff that can answer your questions is the most important. I've been to three different locations for Dogs and Cats Rule, and every time I have a question about what to feed Rebel or what to feed Scotchy or what supplement might be good, they have the best answers, and they lead me in the direction that I need. It's easier than Googling stuff. It's easier than going to one of those big box stores, and you're going to get a great product from a staff that cares about your pet. And as we head into the winter, if your dog needs a coat, maybe needs a fleece, maybe needs a sweater. Don't laugh. Some dogs do. They have all that stuff there as well. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Shop small, shop local, shop family. 215-592-9494. Leon in Dallas. You're on WIP. What's up, Leon?
Hey, what's up, boys? How y'all doing?
What's up, Leon?
Clear?
What's that?
Do I sound pretty clear?
No, not really.
You sound like you're on a speakerphone in a bathroom.
But how about now? Am I good?
Did you say you're in a bathroom at work?
Yes, that's what he said.
Well, hey, man, I had to run out real quick. But
we appreciate the effort.
Shout out you guys. Listen, the first time I ever called WIP was back in 2015. And Ike Reese hung up on me, man. He thought I was a freaking Cowboys fan.
You didn't pass the smell test, Leon.
And actually, I have a stutter, so I was so nervous, and I just came on, and I just started stuttering it. All I heard was click, and I was like, dang, I hung up
on you.
That doesn't really sound like me.
Well, it depends on the day. Had he had a bunch of coffee?
He probably did, but I know I had to reach out on Twitter to let him know, like, hey, man, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm sorry for, because he thought I was a troll. But anyway, listen, right, so I was at that fight on this past weekend. You were at the fight Friday.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I ended up going for free, right? And let me tell you this, dude, I feel as though I'm entitled to a refund. Even though I went for free, that fight was the biggest cluster, you know what, in probably all of combat sports history. I don't know if y'all remember that one. It was between, I don't remember which round it was, but when Mike, he was looking like he was in pain.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all can think back to that, man. The whole crowd, or at least my whole section, they were all, like, just sad and in awe because, dude, it looked like he was really hurt. So,
matter of fact, I was just looking at that. What round was that?
That was the one where it looked like he could have ended it, and he didn't.
I feel like it was the third round.
It
looked like he's about to die over there in the corner.
Yeah. Well, and he said afterwards, Jake Paul said afterwards that he decided not to go for the knockout at one point. And
I can appreciate that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it as a human. But, like, if you're going to put somebody in the ring who you're afraid to hit, then maybe you shouldn't have sold 80,000 tickets and had everybody stay up till midnight to watch you fight him. And I feel like a dummy for waiting up. But
I was more upset that we had to wait to midnight to watch the fight.
Especially when I thought it was 11.
Yeah.
Because a friend told me it was 11, and then around 9:30 he texted me, he's like, 11 Central. And I was like, no! It was. So what was the mood like in there? Because it sounded like there were some boos after the fight.
It was. I mean, it was mainly a pro-Tyson crowd. Like, people were coming to see Mike, you know, pull the upset.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I knew Jake was going to win just because he wins on points in almost all his fights. So, yeah, I probably won't be watching or going to any more of these celebrity, whatever you want to call them, boxing events. So they're just a waste of money. And as far as the Birds, listen, man, I'm a believer, again, of this team. If the Eagles are Jim Jones and they're, you know, feeding me this Kool-Aid right now, guess what? I'm drinking it because, you know, like, they just made a completely 180 from, you know, the first two games of the year to where we are now. So all these Cowboy fans here in Dallas, they're quiet. I can't even find any of them. I can't even beat my chest anymore because these guys are all scared. But I appreciate you guys for letting me on, and I'll talk to you guys probably next week. So take care.
All right, Leon.
Appreciate it, Leon.
Leon, not
sorry
a Cowboy fan.
Sorry for hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on him.
I don't really think that was me.
You're a hang-upper.
I'm not really a hang-up guy. So now I'm trying to think. That had to be Michael B. Was that Barkhead?
That was Barkhead.
Oh, yeah. He has an itchy trigger finger.
For sure.
Yeah. Was that Barkhead? That wasn't me.
I love Barkhead, but he was always wired. He was always on sugar or caffeine or something.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of sugar and caffeine.
Coffee, yeah.
So the fight, the only good part of the fight was the women fight that happened. The girl got robbed.
Oh, she definitely got robbed.
That cut on her eyelid.
Oh, man.
Her eyelid was, like, hanging off.
Oh, man. That was brutal.
It was.
That was brutal. I almost couldn't take it, but I couldn't turn it either. I was locked in on it, but that damn cut was getting wider and wider each round. And she seemed to fight harder after she got cut. Yeah, man.
Yep.
Warrior. True warrior, man.
I assume all the time when a boxing match doesn't get the judging that it should. I just assume it's dirty. I think for, you know, 30 years of watching fights that it's just like you watch that one and the woman she was fighting got penalized a point for headbutting.
She still won.
So when they said everyone had it 95-94, I was like, obviously she knew she won.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the sad thing about the Jake Paul Tyson fight is, you know, he just said he's not going to get He's not going to get tricked by one of those again. Mm-hmm. I'll get tricked again.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Especially if it's on Netflix.
Yep.
I already paid for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm already paying my $12
a
month, whatever.
So, if you're going to have Netflix going to start doing fights, I'm in. And I got to be honest, I didn't want to see Mike Tyson get beat down in there.
No.
Like that.
No.
That's the last thing I wanted to see. And once I realized he's in there with a knee brace on, what boxer comes to the ring with a knee brace on? You knew it was some BS at that point.
Well, you heard, he said he had to have a, because they delayed the fight. Mm-hmm. He said he had to have a bunch of blood transfusions this summer, and he
blood
almost died. He said he lost half his blood, and he had to have 8 blood transfusions.
Come on, Mike.
And then he fought 5 months later?
Come on, Mike.
Come on. Someone let him host a talk show or something pay him for that.
I mean, but the biggest question is, is it normal for guys to be walking around the dressing room with their cheeks out like that, man, and everybody in the dressing room?
That's how I walk around at home.
I mean, literally, he got a room full of people in there, and cheeks is out, bro. I mean, like, he did that interview with his son and walked away, and I said, hell no.
I need to see the package.
I said, hell no, Mike ain't walking around here with his ass out on just in the dressing room.
With the TV cameras.
I mean, men, women, everybody just moving around in the dressing room like that's normal or something.
And I'll be honest, like looking at the cheeks, he didn't look like he was in shape.
It wasn't firm. It looked like a 58-year-old ass, man. It really did. I saw dents and everything. Yep. I saw dents, man.
Cottage cheese.
Seriously, man.
When I saw him there, I was like, oh, this guy's got no chance.
Yeah.
You got to.
I ain't got much back there. When I turn 58, it ain't going to look like that, though. Ain't no dents going to be in my ass. I can tell you that much, man. I can tell you that. I might look like I'm 6 months pregnant, but I ain't going to be no dents in my butt. That's for sure.
Especially if you know there's TV cameras that might see them.
Hey, hasn't he been training?
What's he doing?
What's he doing? Put some boxers on, bro.
Jack, did you watch it?
No, I was asleep.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Jake Paul came in there like a damn Snoop Dogg video.
In
a car and everything else.
Yep, and Mike just walked
out. Mike just walked out there and his usual towel over his neck.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was naked up under his shorts all these years, though. Has he been boxing like this? Is that how he boxes?
I got to go watch old fights now and see if I see an outline of underwear.
Like what's going on, man?
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show. Jack, what do we have to expect in the top 5 of 5?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I was stuck in a tough situation this weekend.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, we'll find out, I guess. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.